to go to John chapter 21. John chapter number 21. I'm on this morning, so I'm good. What I want you to do is when you find John 21, make sure you put your finger there and then flip over to Matthew 16. Alright, so we're going to do two passages this morning. John 21, and once you found that, go over to Matthew chapter number 16. And actually, Matthew 16 is going to be our main text for the morning. But I do want to read just a few verses in John chapter number 21 today. Well, my wife and my son were here this morning. But as soon as everything got started, he started squirming a little bit. And I told Danny, I said, you know, since he's here today, I'm going to have to preach a little bit more quiet. But now that he's gone, amen. Now, y'all are usually sitting back there, is that right? Y'all moved up to the front? Don't, okay. I do just want to warn you that you're in the spitting section. So, there's still an open seat back there if too much gets on you. That's why there's usually not anybody up there. But anyway, all right, John 21, find verse 19. And then we're going to go through verse number 22. So this is Christ after His resurrection. He's on the Sea of Galilee. He's just made breakfast for the disciples. Amen. And He begins to talk to Peter one-on-one. And verse 19 is kind of the end of the conversation. And He says, "This spake He, signifying by what death He should glorify God." And that's speaking of Peter. "And when He," Jesus, "had spoken this, He saith unto Peter," and those two words there say, "Follow Me." "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth Thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?" See, Peter was like us. He's more worried about others than himself. Verse 22, "Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" And here's these words again. "Follow thou me." And then in Matthew chapter number 16, Jesus basically informs Peter of the exact same thing. And we're not going to read that now. I'm going to read it just in a little bit. But John 21, Jesus is here and He says these very important words to Peter. He says, "Follow me." And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I want to ask you a question. Are you a follower of Christ? And don't answer that because that's something to get you. Are you a follower of Christ? Here in John 21, face to face with the Apostle Peter, Jesus makes a firm command to him. This isn't a suggestion. This is a command for Peter to obey, follow me. Now, this is no new thing to Peter. You remember 3.5 years earlier, they were likewise on the Sea of Galilee on the boat, and Jesus comes to Peter and his brother Andrew and says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." That happened 3.5 years earlier, but here in John 21, we find that Jesus is having to tell Peter again, "Follow me." And I find that pretty interesting, and it's for this reason. In Matthew chapter number 16, Jesus asked the most important question in the Bible. Who do you say that I am? You see, your answer to that question determines whether you'll spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. Whom do you say Jesus is? Jesus asked His apostles that question, and Peter, being the leader of the apostles, barks up and says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." See, Peter got it right. Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father, which is in heaven, hath revealed this to you." And a lot of people will tell you this. This is the moment right here Peter was born again. This was the moment Peter was saved, the moment Peter became a child of God, because that is how you and I are saved. God comes to us through the Holy Spirit, shows us who Jesus is, and we call upon Him as our Lord and our Savior. So Peter here, he's a child of God. He's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, on who He is. Peter is on his way to heaven and he's following Jesus. Yet in John 21, a few weeks later, you're going to find Jesus telling Peter again, follow me. He told him again to follow me. And that teaches me this. Though Peter was saved, though Peter was a child of God, though Peter was on his way to heaven at this point in his life, he wasn't following Christ. He had given up following the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. Now that teaches me this about you and me. You and I can be saved and not be following Christ. You and I can be children of God on our way to heaven and not be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And church, this morning I'm here to tell you this. That is where we find 21st century Christianity. Many Christians, but few followers. Many Christians, but few followers. You see, that happened even when Jesus was on earth. Everywhere He went, the Bible says there were multitudes. There were thousands upon thousands that believed on who He was. But when the time came for everything to get real, there wasn't but 11 of them standing around. There were so many that believed on Him, but only few that were totally committed to Him, to doing exactly what He said to do. So I propose a question to all of us here this morning, and the question isn't, are you saved? You were here last week, we talked about that. The question is, are you a follower of Christ? Because this morning, church, I'm here to inform you, God has not only called us to believe on Jesus and be saved. How many of you know God has called us to surrender our lives to Jesus and follow Him for the rest of our days? So that's the question we're going to talk about today. Are you a follower of Christ? And if you don't mind, I'm just going to preach to myself and y'all listen in, okay? Because this is something that I need today. The problem in our generation today, there's a lot of problems in our generation today, but the problem is not a shortage of churches. In the Southeast, every single 5 miles, there's a church nearly on every block. Drive down to Myrtle Beach, you'll find a church nearly everywhere on your way there. Even in Florida, North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina. Everywhere around, at least in the Southeast, the places I've been, every 5 minutes, you'll find a church on the block. The problem is not there's a shortage of churches. Now listen to this. The problem is not also there's a shortage in Christians. I believe there's a lot of Christians around us in North Carolina. There's a lot of Christians that attend church. So the problem isn't there's not enough churches, and the problem isn't there's not enough Christians. The problem is this. The Christians that go to church are not followers of Christ. Listen to what Tony Evans said. He's one of my favorite pastors to follow in Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas. Listen to this. He said, the reason we have powerless Christians attending powerless churches and having a powerless impact on their community around them is because though there are many Christians, there are few disciples. So the question this morning is not how many people are seated on the pews. The question is how many on the pews are disciples. That's the question that we need to change this morning. Because me included, in this generation that we're living, we've placed too much emphasis on church membership and not enough on discipleship. We're way too concerned with church membership rather than discipleship. And if we're going to get back to being the church that Jesus wants us to be, we're going to have to place an importance on discipleship rather than membership. Because how many of you know you can be a Christian who attends church 52 Sundays a year and still not be a disciple of Christ? The question this morning is, hold on, if I'm a Christian and I come to church, what in the world does it take to be a follower of Christ if that's not what it takes? I've got a definition for you this morning that I want to show you. A Christ follower is this. It is one who gives Jesus Christ complete rulership over every area of his or her life. That is a follower of Christ. Listen, when you do a comprehensive study of the New Testament, you'll find this. the followers of Jesus Christ weren't these people who just gave Him half of their life, were they? They were people who literally gave them their entire life and even their death they gave to Christ. They weren't people who had one foot in the world and another foot in Christ. They were people who were completely committed, completely courageous, and completely devoted to following the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And you know, I don't have to inform you of this morning. When you study the book of Acts and the first Christians, there is a big difference between them and us. Right? I've studied the Bible for 3 years nearly every day, and when I study the New Testament, I look at it and I'm like, what is going on? This looks nothing like what we have today. Study the book of Acts. It literally looks like nothing that we have today in 21st century Christianity. There's a big difference between them and us. But listen to the biggest difference, I believe. When the Christians showed up in certain towns, cities, and provinces in the book of Acts, Brother Johnny, one of two things happened in those cities. The people got mad, or they got saved. There wasn't no middle ground. When the Christians showed up, people either got real mad, or they got born again. I can say it this way. When Christians showed up, a riot started, or a revival started. That was what happened. Read it. Everywhere Paul went, usually both happened when Paul showed up. A riot, but then in a house over here, a revival started to happen. When the Christians showed up in certain towns, people changed. Whether it was they changed this way or they changed that way. Because under the power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were operating. But you see, today in our church, when the Christians show up and set up shop in towns, really neither one of those things happens, do they? There's not riots happening because we're here, and there's not revivals happening because we are here. I think it was Warren Wiersbe who said the problem with Christians is people don't have a problem with Christians. You get that? The problem with Christians today is people don't have a problem with Christians today. Everywhere they went in the book of Acts, people either loved them or hated them. There wasn't no middle ground. So church, we need to start a riot or a revival or something. I would prefer the revival. But you'll find in the book of Acts, when the people were living their lives devoted to Christ, really both of them is going to happen. Now, that was part one of the sermon, okay? That was part one. Because really what just happened was most of us became discouraged that we're not following Christ the way we ought to. All of us know you could raise your hand and testify this morning, I'm not following Christ the way I ought to. I could too. But church, I'm not here today to discourage you. I'm here to encourage you to be the follower of Christ you ought to. So the rest of this sermon is to encourage us to be the followers of Christ that we ought to be. Because I'm here to propose something else to you this morning. Did you know things can be different? Did you know things can change in Gastonia? Did you know that we can begin to reach lost people in our community? Things can change. Things can be different, but it is going to take us getting away from membership and back to discipleship. It is going to take us getting away from just being happy to go to heaven and getting to us being committed followers of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I'm here to ask you and me, do we want to follow Jesus? Because the old hymn says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And at this point, as I've asked you, do you want to be a follower of Christ? We're probably all saying yes. And at this point, I am very, very, very tempted to just give you a list of things on that board and say, listen, do these things, and you'll be a follower of Christ. Read your Bible when you wake up in the mornings. Pray before you go to sleep. Come to church on Sunday and come to church on Wednesday. And listen, you will be a follower of Christ. And all of those things are very, very, very important. And more than likely, if we're not doing those things, we're not following Christ. But following Christ is much more than coming to church. Following Christ is much more than even reading our Bible and saying prayers. Following Christ, Jesus is about to tell us, is a whole lot more than that. Matthew 16, I want you to look at it. Jesus has just began to talk to the apostles here. In verse 24, I want you to look at it. He tells us exactly what it will take if you and I want to be a follower of Christ. This is not my words, all right? Don't get mad at me, please. This is Jesus' words. That if we want to follow Him, this is a requirement. Verse 24. Then Jesus said unto His disciples, we all heard this verse, if any man will come after me, if you want to follow me, if you want to desire to come after me, here it is, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. That's very simple, isn't it? But very hard. Jesus just gave us the exact thing we have to do. This is not a suggestion. You know, when you go to certain restaurants, they say, we suggest that you wear a mask. You know what that means? You can or you can't. It really doesn't matter. You can do either one. Verse 24 is not Jesus saying, you know, this is just something that if you want to do, man, you're open to do it. But if not, don't worry about it. This is something that Jesus requires, that if we are to be followers, faithful, committed followers of Him, we must do, number one, deny ourselves. We must be willing to deny ourselves. Verse 21 in Matthew 16, Jesus has just revealed really this breaking news to His apostles, and it's the first time He tells them this. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Jesus just said, the next time, boys, we go to Jerusalem, they're going to beat me, they're going to persecute me, they're going to arrest me, and then they are going to kill me. And He adds, be raised again the third day. They missed that point totally. They are going to kill me. And I can just imagine that the apostles are looking around at each other saying, what? What did He just say? That the next time we go to Jerusalem, He's going to be killed? And they begin to scratch their heads. They say, listen, how does that make any sense? All along they're thinking, listen, we've been following You because we thought You were going to take over the world. We've been following You because You're supposed to take over Rome. You're supposed to set up Your kingdom. And we, because we followed You, are going to have a seat right beside You. And everything's just going to be right. Everything's going to be comfortable. Everything's going to be easy. And we're going to sit beside You in the kingdom. And here's Jesus saying, no, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be killed. And the disciples are thinking, listen, they've been following this whole time saying, listen, we follow Him, we're going to have it made in the shade, drinking pink lemonade. That's a life right there. That's what they're thinking. Listen, we followed Him, everything's going to be good. But Jesus drops this atomic bomb on them that He hadn't before. He said, I am going to be killed. And they couldn't wrap their minds around this, because what the apostles did not understand was this. For Jesus, it wasn't He was going to ride into glory. He had to suffer first and then glory. He had to suffer first and then glory. That's what the Bible teaches. And listen to what Jesus is about to explain to His followers. If He suffered first and then it was glory, His followers are not just going to ride in a tent to glory. We're going to have to suffer first. And then glory. And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to explain here. That if we're going to follow Him, we're going to have to follow His pattern. Suffering first, glory later. Jesus states, if you are going to follow Me, number one, you must deny yourself. Now this is pretty interesting. A synonym in the New Testament for follow. Follow, a synonym for that word is imitate. imitate. You know, in about 3 years, everything I do, somebody's going to imitate it. Everything I say, you got to be careful what you say now, right? Everything I say, he's going to imitate what I'm doing. And you see, that is exactly what Jesus is calling us to do. He says, if any man will imitate me, you're going to have to imitate me. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to do what I have done. And listen, what Jesus has done far above everybody to ever walk the face of the planet is deny himself. That is what Jesus has done. He has denied himself. Now listen, as we quickly approach the season of Christmas, this principle of self-denial is what makes Christmas so glorious to me. Because you see, Christmas is not simply the fact that a baby was born in Bethlehem. What makes Christmas so special, so glorious, so majestic is it's about the Son of God who was in heaven. He was sharing the glory that He had with the Father. He was literally in a place that had no sin, no suffering, no sorrow, none of those things. And He was getting worship. He was getting bowed down to. He was getting praised as the Son of God. That was Him before Bethlehem. Yet, He would willingly leave all that. He would willingly give up all of that. He would willingly deny all that. And listen, come to a place that is filled with sin. Come to a place that has suffering. Come to a place that is filled with sorrow. Come to a place where His glory would no longer shine. Come to a place where He wouldn't be worshipped, but be rejected. Come to a place where He wouldn't be praised, but be crucified. Come to a place where it wouldn't be good, it would be bad. Jesus willingly said, I will leave that, give up that, deny that, and come down here. Church, if that's not a perfect picture of self-denial, I don't know what is. Because that is exactly what self-denial is. Giving up something and stepping down for the sake of others. That is self-denial. Giving up something. That's what Jesus did. He gave up all of that. He gave it up. He said, I'll leave it. You want to know why? Because He loved you and I. But you know, this is exactly what He's called us to do as well. So, well, how do we do that? How do we deny ourselves in order to follow Jesus? Well, listen, Jesus gave up all that. And if we're going to imitate Jesus, guess what? We're going to have to give up things as well. In the book of Acts, they literally gave up their life. They gave up everything to follow Jesus. And I asked myself this morning, and this week, since I became a Christian, what have I had to give up to be a Christian? What have I had to give up? And really, there's not that much. There's not that much in America in 21st century Christianity that we give up to follow Jesus. But to be a committed follower of Jesus, we're going to have to give up some things. I'll just confess this to you. I don't know why I've been confessing lately. Before Levi was born, I felt this nudge in my spirit nearly every night that, man, I need to wake up earlier than anybody else and spend time with God. I just need to set my alarm, get up before everything gets started so I can get in the Word of God, so I can pray, so I can spend time alone with God. And that was God nudging me to do that. But you know what? I love sleep. And you know what I never did before He was born? Now I'm doing it. I never got up before everybody else did and spent time with God. And you know what that taught me? The reason I didn't was because I love sleep more than I love Jesus. That's the only explanation. I loved sleep more than I love Jesus. I'm not telling you you're going to have to get up at 6 o'clock. God may not be nudging you to do that, to spend time with Him. But He was me. But I found out I love sleep more than I love Jesus. Because I wasn't willing to give up sleep for Him. So often we have things in our life, sin, that God obviously calls us that we need to give up. And the reason we don't is because we love sin more than we love Jesus. You see, when we have a problem with obedience, it's not an obedience problem, it's a love problem. You see, I love... He's not here, I was going to use him. I love this little boy more than I could ever even describe to you. And you know what that would make me do for him? Anything. Anything. And you see, the reason we don't do anything for Jesus is because we don't love Him the way we should. Love makes us do some crazy things, Miss Kathy. And the reason we're not really being faithful followers to Christ is because our love isn't in the right spot. We're not loving Jesus the way that we should. And you see, that's the great reason Jesus gave up everything for us. You want to know why? He loved us. That's what drew Him to give everything, was His love. And He don't want us to give up stuff just to be giving it. He wants us to give up things because we love Him. Because we love Him. And He has called us to do that, deny ourselves. That's just a few examples of some things that we might can give up. He also calls us to give up good things if they're higher on the priority list than Him. Like I said, being a follower of Christ is a whole lot different than what we expect, isn't it? This isn't something that He takes lightly. This isn't something that is easy. The next thing is not only we are to deny ourselves. Verse 24 says this, and this is the tough one. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and, secondly, take up his cross. He must take up his cross. Now, when you and I see that symbol of the cross, a lot of us have it on a bumper sticker, on a necklace, on a bracelet. When we see the symbol of the cross, to us it's a good thing. To us it is a positive thing. To us it brings up thoughts of eternal life. To us it brings up thoughts of love, of great love, of a love that we can't even explain. To us the cross means that. And that is because we're living on this side of the cross. But you see, when Jesus on this side of the cross looked at His apostles and said, "You must take up the cross," you know what the only thing they associated with a cross? Was a criminal carrying it to his death. That was it. That was all a cross was on this side. Was a criminal picking up a piece of wood and walking to his death. So you know what Jesus is saying? If you are going to follow me, you must be willing to walk with me to your death. To your death. You see, following Jesus today isn't something that we do because it's popular. And following Jesus isn't something that we do and then when it gets hard we can just say, you know what, never mind. This is hard, I'm just going to give up this following Jesus thing. He said, if you're going to follow me, you must take up your cross and be willing to follow me even to the point of death. That old hymn says, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. How many of you are thankful this morning that when it got hard for Jesus to carry the cross, He didn't turn back? When it got heavy, when He got beat, when His heart was about to explode out of His body because of the great stress and the agony that He was going through from all the blood loss, and on top of that, the fact that God was about to take every single man and woman's boy and girl's sin and pour it on Him so that He would be the sacrifice for our sin, the agony, the death that He went through for you and me, yet He did it. Jesus did that for us. He walked all the way up Calvary's hill and He laid down His life for you and for me. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus died first, He was exalted later. And you see, this morning, Jesus has called His followers to do the same thing. Suffer first, glory later. Now, I'll just be honest with you this morning. I'd rather have it that order than the other order. Because you see, for an unbeliever, it's glory now, suffering later. But for us, I'm so thankful that it's just getting better for you and me. But He has called us to suffer for His name. But when the world, I'll never forget this boy saying this, to me, when I was in grade school, he said, why would you worship somebody who died on a cross? Why would you serve somebody who was not powerful enough to defeat his own death? What makes Jesus' cross different than anybody else who ever died on the cross? You see, when the world and unbelievers look at the cross, the Bible says it's foolishness to them. It doesn't make sense that you and I would come to church every single Sunday and worship somebody who died. But I'm here to inform them He didn't stay dead. You see, the cross makes no sense to the world. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But here it is. But to us which are saved, the cross is the power of God. You see, when I look at the cross, I see something a little bit different than the world sees. I see the place where my sins were forgiven. I see the place where I was brought into a relationship with God. I see the place where I gained eternal life. And I see the place where over 15 years ago, I met the dearest friend that I've ever had that said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. The cross is the power of God to you and I that believe. That's the cross to me. That's the cross. And that's why Paul said in Galatians 6, I will glory in nothing save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll rejoice in not myself. I'll boast in not my religious activities. I will boast that the only reason I have anything is because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus did. He took up His cross because He loved you and me. Now, all my life, I don't know if you've ever heard this statement before, but I have. All my life I've heard this statement, we don't need to carry that heavy cross because Jesus already did. I mean, that's a good, makes for a good quote on Facebook. We don't need to carry the heavy cross because Jesus already did. They got it wrong. We don't have to carry our sin because Jesus already did. But you see here, Jesus says, you too have to carry your cross. You too must carry your cross. In Sunday school a few weeks ago, you studied Peter. You should have learned that Peter was crucified upside down. That's how Peter died. Tradition says that he didn't want to be killed the same way his Savior was, so he said, turn me around. I'm not worthy to be killed that way. Peter was crucified because he loved Jesus. John was poisoned and sent to an island that nobody else was on. The Isle of Patmos. Why? For the testimony of Jesus. Thomas was killed. James was beheaded. All of these men gave their life for following Christ. And let me say this. The reason you and I have this book in English is because people were burned at the stake for following Christ. That's why we have our Bible. That's why we have Christianity. Can I tell you, that's why we have eternal life, because somebody gave their life so that we might have it. And the question this morning is, man, if from really the first century to the 10th century, people were constantly giving their life, giving everything to follow Christ, what makes us any different today? All of these men gave their life for following the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, you too must take up your cross and follow me. You see, very often when Jesus was teaching the disciples, He laid out these requirements, and at the end of His sermon, people walked away and said, never mind. You'll find that in John 6. The Bible says many walked away and didn't follow Him any longer because they figured out what He required. He said, I don't have a place to lay my head at night. He said, if you love anything else more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. That's exactly what the Bible says. And a lot of us, including me, have just found out this morning we're really not following Christ the way He's asked us to follow Him, are we? But you know, things can be different. Things can change. And we can become the followers that Jesus has asked us to become. And that's what I ask of you this morning. And that's what Christ is asking of you right now. If you want to continue to follow me. When He was in this text, the reason He brought this out so boldly was because, boys, it's about to get real tough. It is about to get real hard to be a Christian. And if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to leave some stuff behind because the road ahead is not easy. And I don't know if you figured it out, but the road ahead for Christians in America is not going to be easy. It's about to get real hard to be a follower of Christ. It's about to get real hard to step up and stand up for what we believe in. It's about to get real hard to give our lives for the one who gave His life for us. Because you see, America doesn't want any of Jesus. They don't want any of the church, and they don't want anything to do with you and me. And if it's in California right now where they're saying you can't have church, give it a few months, a few years, it'll be in North Carolina. And Jesus is saying, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Because the one thing I never want to happen to have this little boy of mine look at me and say, Daddy, why don't we go to church anymore? Daddy, why don't we read our Bible together anymore? Daddy, why don't you preach anymore? Because it got too hard to be a Christian in America. That's my worst nightmare, Brother Daddy. It's about to get real hard to become a Christian. And Jesus is asking every single one of us here right now, through His Word, through the Holy Spirit, are you willing? Are you willing to do what it takes to follow me? And to give your life because I gave my life for you. That's the only motivation we need this morning, church. Not a sermon. Not a good quote. The only motivation we need to follow Jesus is He died for us. We ought to live for Him. That's it. And I pray this morning it would be your prayer as we go through this invitation. Musicians, you can come. I'm done. I pray that it would be your prayer this morning that we, as the church, we'd say, you know what? We're not going to be lukewarm anymore. I'm tired of not making a difference and the people around me. I'm tired of not making an impact when I'm around people. And the Christians got around people, they made an impact. And that was because they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God and they operated under His power. And I pray that this morning it would be your prayer that as that hymn said, this morning right now I'm going to make a commitment and I'm going to decide that I'm going to follow Jesus and resolve that I'm not going back. That I'm not going back. And if you'll help me, I want to do that too. We need each other to follow Jesus. Father, we come to You this morning. And God, I just pray that You've spoken to our hearts today and showed us exactly what it means to be a follower of Christ. You haven't called us to just come to church and then go out and not talk about you or speak about you or share your life and your good news with anybody. God, you've called us to give our life for your sake, not just us who serve in ministry, but all of us who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a joy it's going to be one day when we get to heaven, that God, we might look at people that we witness to, that we might see people that we shared the gospel with, that we might see people that you made an impact on through us. God, what a joy that would be one day. So Father, I pray that you would help us to decide right now, to be resolved right now, that we're not going to be lukewarm, that we're not going to be stagnant, that we're not just going to sit around, but we're going to follow Christ. No turning back. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the power you give us to do what you've called us to do. For it's in Jesus' name that we do ask it. Amen.